Truth, exposure, and accountability. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. This is America's platform where testicular fortitude lives. The platform of Real Remedy, April 21st, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. At some point in most of our lives, if we're lucky, we get the opportunity to meet with someone that we never thought we would ever have the chance to even talk to. Common people, for example, aren't likely to, say, experience a conversation with the president over a beer summit in the Rose Garden. Your grandparents may have never received boxing lessons from Muhammad Ali. You probably didn't go exploring with Bear Grylls or wrestle alligators with Steve Irwin or strap up and chase bad guys with Chuck Norris. Maybe you'll never sit down with the president's chief of staff so that you could specifically ask him, "So what were you doing nestling up intimately next to these Chinese communists?" But it happens. You get it. Everyone has the short list of famous or qualified people that they would love to sit down with and pick their brain, as they say. And this show has afforded us the opportunity to meet some of these people and ask some of these very specific questions. Hopefully today we can learn a little bit more from an eminently qualified guest. The great vaccine conversation has introduced the world to a lot of experts and scientists and doctors that, let's face it, most of us would have never heard of prior to the release of a supposed bat virus and the rollout of these bioweapon shots that are wreaking havoc on the global population. Dr. Robert Malone is the inventor of the mRNA technology used to deliver billions of those shots around the world. I sat down with him for about an hour and a half earlier today. Here's part of what he said.
It's my honor to be here with someone like yourself, who is a true champion of freedom and liberty, and absolutely willing to speak out and ask hard questions. So I've put on my bulletproof vest, and I'm ready for your for anything you want to fire.
Well, listen, I don't sit down with the intent to have a gotcha interview, but you know, many people have so many questions.
It's fine.
One of them that I was thinking about the other day is, I was just wondering, can you tell us, why does the spike protein act different in the SARS-CoV-2 thing from Wuhan that made everyone sick, and the way it acts in these bioweapon shots?
That has an underlying thesis that it does act differently in that question. And let's see, how do I say this? I'm trying to phrase it in a way that isn't too wonky. You and I share a common belief that this represents an engineered pathogen, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that's our baseline. You know, we're both aligned on that. So let's walk through what happened. This engineered, and we're just really quick, because there's so many nuances and details around it. But this engineered bioweapon somehow ended up in the population. And that probably happened about September 2019. And somehow, concordant with that time frame, there were initiated programs to build a vaccine product using genetic vaccine technology, which took the engineered sequence as the starting point and introduced into that engineered sequence of the spike protein of the virus that somehow got into the population, I'm choosing my words, that sequence was taken as a starting point, and two specific mutations, tiny little point mutations, were introduced into that sequence. They're the notorious double proline mutations, which were engineered to make it so that that spike protein trimer, because it comes together like a treble fish hook, that treble fish hook protein would be locked into a conformation, a structure, because it naturally breathes, changes, and has some shifts when it binds to cells, and made it so that it was locked into a form that is considered to be more immunogenic based on prior vaccine efforts developed with other prior coronaviruses. So basically, the geniuses at NIH, to take it as a stalking horse, took the sequence that reflected the Chinese virus, introduced two small point mutations that would make it more immunogenic, which had been previously discovered by others with other spike proteins from other preceding coronaviruses, and called it a day, and put that into an RNA expression cassette and partnered with Moderna to start making it in bulk quantity. So it is the protein sequence itself, the thing that's coded for by the RNA, is virtually identical to the natural, I wouldn't call it natural, let's say the engineered virus spike protein, whatever other elements it has in there that were engineered in there, whether they were venom-like sequences or super antigens or other characteristics that appear to be present in that engineered sequence, they took that as it was, as the Wuhan strain spike, introduced these two prolines to make it more immunogenic. And that is what they put into the shot that they've given to billions of us.
Okay. I know that you said you don't want to talk about venom. I don't know why. There's probably 6, 7, 10 million people that want you to. But I'll respect that. But I want to go simply prolines. What is a proline? Is this something that's found in a mammal?
So there are a spectrum of amino acids. And proline is one of them. Remember, amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. So proline is a natural amino acid that is one of the building blocks of proteins. And just as the four nucleotides, A, U, G, C, are the building blocks of RNA, mRNA. Okay, so the way that the whole biologic system works is as if we have a spectrum of universal parts that are used for each different protein or each different nucleic acid, and the cell basically grabs these parts and assembles them in different sequences to give rise to the final functional protein. Did that make sense?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you use a very eloquent and scientific word salad when you're here a lot of the times. And so my brain is going 3,000 miles an hour to try to keep up with you. So if I know that to be true about me,
I apologize.
I can speculate that the majority of our audience is sharing my thoughts that, hey, listen, I'm not a scientist. You know, you're a world-renowned inventor, a doctor, an immunologist.
Yeah, so I apologize, dude. That's my fault if I can't make it simple. So let me try again.
Is a proline found in mammals naturally? Or is this something
yes,
that's...
Yes, absolutely. It is found in most of our proteins. It is not a synthetic or artificial molecule. It is a building block of protein. It's something that's found in many protein supplements that you can obtain. So if you take protein and you break it up into little, it's all of its parts, one of those parts, natural proteins from humans or other species will be prolines.
Do we know anything about the specific prolines, the two of them that are in these shots?
Absolutely. And I, in my standard presentation, and I could send it to you, Stu, if you want to grab slides from it. I have a standard talk that I give, like the one I gave in Marseille a couple of weeks ago, in which I talk about the mRNA technology. Matter of fact, if you ever want to, we could go over that slide deck and have a conversation, because it would be really useful with you serving as a kind of a representative of
the people.
The people, I think, is a good way to put it. I can show you, it's in my standard slide deck, a diagram of the spike protein and the precise place where those two proline mutations have been inserted.
When we sit down and talk with Dr. Robert Malone, I mean, obviously, go look at what he's talking about. Go look this stuff up. We have to do research on our own. We can't rely on one person for all of the answers all of the time. And I certainly don't have them. You have a lot more of them than I do, which is why you're here. You're the expert. So how did all of these different sequences from all of these different mammals, and I suspect reptiles, end up inside of these shots?
So that is a great question. And I don't have the only way to get to the answer, the actual answer, granular, of your question would require that some objective third party would gain access to the laboratory records, basically of the Bat Lady at the Wuhan lab.
Biowarfare is mentioned in the patents for the spike protein.
Absolutely. So we have to be careful of pulling things out of context from within patents, for example, just because I mentioned or someone mentions biowarfare as a potential indication for a product doesn't mean, or a technology, doesn't mean that that's how it's being used. But it appears from what I hear, and this is third party, so we have to be careful, that this scientist and her colleagues were actively involved in development of a series of viruses which were specifically engineered potentially for biowarfare purposes, is one school of thought. The contrapositive, a contrasting view that others hold, that is backed by the grant proposal or contract proposal that was released by Veritas, which had been submitted to DARPA from EcoHealth Alliance, which proposed the engineering of something very close to this particular virus for purposes of eliciting, basically producing a live virus vaccine for bats, ostensibly to make it so those bats could not evolve a pathogen with the characteristics of the virus that they were going to administer to the bats. It's totally convoluted logic, but that appears to be what was proposed. So I can't resolve, and both of those things could be true. It could well be that the Bat Lady was engaged in a series of viral variants that were designed for biowarfare purposes.
They took sequences from different animal species and mammals, and I think reptiles. They took dangerous peptides, known toxins that kill cells, froze it with cryo, encapsulated it into lipid nanoparticles, put it in a vial, licensed it, and injected it into the American people. How is that not biowarfare?
Yeah, okay, so I would say that from what I understand, the chain here is that, and this is, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the scientists at the Vaccine Research Center, which they may or may not deserve. But let's just say for the sake of discussion right now, that we assume that they weren't evil incarnate. So just for the sake of discussion.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to wrap my head around that, seeing what's actually happening out here.
What I can hear you. the tension is, in my mind, between intentional evil and ineptitude and hubris. And it's hard to pull those apart. I can't get inside of their heads.
I mean, I don't know. I can't agree with that, but it's not hard for me.
That's fine. evil is as evil does, right?
I want to redress one of the things that I said at the top. So you said that I was operating under the thesis that the spike protein acts differently in this so-called virus than it does in the shots, but it does because of the two prolines, correct? I mean, it's different. It's a different thing. Mm. So it's going to act differently. And then when you look at the effects, and when you look at the how people get sick, 99.9% of people that get this virus miraculously recover. A lot of people are asymptomatic, have very mild symptoms, these other things. These people who are injected are experiencing neurological problems, Guillain-Barré, a variety of all sorts of different things, myocarditis. These things are not part of the set of symptoms that you experience when you so-called contract a natural virus. So they are acting different, aren't they?
Okay, actually, that's wrong, what you just said. So myocarditis is a known side effect, and many of these various neurologic complications are known side effects of a wide variety of viral infections, as are the autoimmune effects. They are observed in people who were unvaccinated but obtained the Wuhan strain virus. And that gets to the Substack, which poses the question, when is mRNA not really mRNA?
In that Substack, you rolled out saying last January, Stu Peters decided to roll out the thesis that I have personal responsibility for the morbidity and mortality associated with the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, consequent to my pioneering work in developing the ideas and reduction to practice of using synthetic mRNA as transient gene therapy method, with the entry-level application being for vaccine purposes. So, I mean, you invented it. It was very expensive. It was unstable. It was dangerous. How are you not responsible, I guess, is my question.
So what is being administered here in the Moderna and Pfizer products, as opposed to the product produced from CureVac, which they've discontinued their program?
Is this the India program?
What is being? No, CureVac is German.
Okay.
So they're a direct competitor to BioNTech.
Got it.
Actually, we're an earlier entrant into the mRNA field than the Uyghurs were with BioNTech.
Okay.
But what they didn't do at CureVac was license the University of Pennsylvania patent and apply it of Carrico and Weissman. So the big difference between what we are receiving with these mRNA vaccines and what I originally envisioned are twofold. Number one, it is expressing a toxic protein, that being the spike protein. And we just kind of picked apart aspects of that toxicity. The other big one, and the reason why we abandoned our research on mRNA using cationic lipid delivery. Remember, the original discovery from Vicel was naked mRNA, so it had none of these cationic lipids. But I did work with cationic lipids in the original discovery that I made at the Salk, and then subsequently, and spent about a decade as an academic engineering new positively charged fats. And some of those are still marketed by Promega as research products. So we spent a lot of time, I don't know how many mice, a number of non-human primates, and we could never overcome the problem that when you injected these complexes into mammals of the positively charged lipids complexed with RNA or DNA, it would generate a rip-roaring immediate inflammatory response, or you could call that a kind of innate immune response. It would, to make it simple, it was a very, very effective way to cause formation of pus.
So why did you originally invent it? What was the purpose when you originally invented it? Was it rare genetic disease? Is that what, I mean, I've read that you've said that. Just for clarification,
my intention in working in Inderverma's lab at the Salk was to develop improved retrovirus vector technology, because at the time as someone who had a background in retroviruses, I believed that as there would be a new field of medicine that I could participate in its creation.
So you acknowledge that it is very dangerous to get these jabs. I mean, you have said that. You have actually said that we should stop doing this.
Repeatedly.
So, and then you've talked about the World Economic Forum earlier in the interview. You mentioned them. And you said that it's their game plan. They have a game plan. And you've mentioned in other interviews a depopulation plan or population control. I don't know exactly how you said it, so forgive me if I'm not getting it verbatim. So, but if they wanted to kill us, why not just kill us? What do you think is the end game with these shots?
good question. Again, let's try to stick, let's try to avoid speculation to the best of our ability and stick with what has been stated. In a variety of publications and public statements made by both Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and Klaus Schwab's chief scientific officer, there have been lengthy discussions about the problem of overpopulation in the world. And a variety of phrases have been used. One that has caught the popular attention is useless eaters.
Yeah.
I don't think so. The evidence that I've seen demonstrates that to the extent that Klaus Schwab is a leader and not a puppet, and his scientific advisor, even though he says things like about transhumanism that sound like an Onion article, and yet he seems to be saying them with a straight face.
He's serious.
We have to assume that he actually believes these things. Then we have a global organization that seems to have as part of its core philosophy endorsement of transhumanism and a belief system that world overpopulation must be addressed in some way. Those are facts.
Well, the only way that you can do it is by killing people, I guess. I mean, and they're the ones that are huge advocates of these shots. Governments all over the world are pushing these things. People are losing their jobs if they don't get them. I mean, in layman's terms, you look at this thing and it's mass murder. I mean, they know what's happening with these shots, and yet they keep giving them to pilots and giving them to the military.
The organization that I represent as president, you'll remember our website is Global COVID Summit. And if you look at our first physician's declaration that has over 17,000 signatures from physicians and medical scientists, we explicitly speak about crimes against humanity.
Do you think that these shots should be given to anybody else, or do you say that they're dangerous? I've asked you this before. I just want a clear answer.
At this point, we have a point in this topic of evil and the fine line between medical freedom and mandated vaccines. I have to represent the ethical construct of being a licensed physician. And you have latitude, as for instance does Ed Dowd, to make statements that I can't really do as a licensed physician. I've already had one attack on my medical license from this character, Michael Patmos in Hawaii. And he continues to attack me at every opportunity. And so I am forced into a position of self-censorship as a consequence of maintaining my medical license. And so I ask your tolerance or forgiveness. I'm choosing words carefully of necessity. But
that's frustrating. It's really frustrating to hear you say that. And it's frustrating to hear doctors and coroners and all sorts of people that don't want to come forward and tell the truth because they're scared of what they might personally lose. That's frustrating for a guy like me who's risked it all to come out here and do this show and ask the tough questions and get swatted and attacked and all kinds of different things by the media. I mean, I didn't ever need to live that life either.
But if they take me out, then my utility as a spokesperson and as a advocate in this long drawn out battle that we're facing.
If they take you out, somebody should have a record of absolutely everything that you know. So let's do it. Tell us everything.
About what?
All of it. Where it came from, who's involved, why the CIA was calling you, everything. I mean, let's just hear it all.
What's my opinion?
Yeah.
Sometime in September 2019, there was a intentional or unintentional release of a engineered virus that had been produced in the Wuhan laboratory. And there, surrounding that, there was a series of events that are really difficult to understand and explain. There was the event 201, which seemed to foreshadow this. There's evidence of already existing patents and contracts relating to engineering of a coronavirus vaccine that overlap with what we now know to be the sequence. There was a kind of a war game event that occurred in China. And there was apparently a CIA officer, or according to Davey Alba, the New York Times reporter who had strangely detailed knowledge about Michael Callahan, who interviewed me and wrote the hit piece. Callahan at that point was either still CIA or a contractor. Who also held a Harvard appointment as an intensivist, who was in China in that region at that time in the fourth quarter of 2019, under the guise of his academic appointment as part of a exchange program of some sort with a university in China. The exchange being that they send their professors and academics to Harvard for training and vice versa. Michael and I had published previously, particularly within Zika, because he had detailed insider information about Zika at a time when the world was really confused about, including myself, about how this previously benign virus suddenly was associated with florid birth defects in Brazil. And because of his relationships with one of the leading viral research institutes, infectious disease research institutes in Panama and a number of other places. So for some reason, presumably because I had previously been successful in drug repurposing and knew a lot about the vaccine technologies, Michael called me on January 2nd and told me that I should get my team spun up akin to what I had done with Zika, because this pathogen, this virus that had been released, was looking like it was a significant global threat.
Wow. Heavy stuff. As I said at the top of the segment, Dr. Malone and I sat down for about an hour and a half. The entirety of that interview will be available this weekend, Saturday, at stupeters.com. And I agree with Dr. Malone. This is a global threat, and we've been calling that out from the beginning, desperately trying to get to the bottom of who is responsible for what we believe to be an intentional biowarfare act on the global population. We believe firmly, and nobody has been able to disprove, the theory that this was a chimerically engineered man-made virus that was developed in a bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China, and intentionally released upon the world. A bat and a pangolin? Come on, get out of here with that nonsense, silly, stupid talk. That's nonsense. And it was released on the populace with one objective: to usher in the bioweapon injections that are now being forced upon every man, woman, and child, every living and breathing organism on the face of the planet. And world governments are working in lockstep to accomplish that goal, along with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, who, as Dr. Malone said, his stated goal, Bill Gates' stated goal, is depopulation, to kill off a whole bunch of people in the world. Again, that interview in its entirety Saturday at StuPeters.com. More of the Stu Peters Show with Maria Z and a military whistleblower. That's going to be shocking, coming up in about 60 seconds. Go nowhere. We'll continue straight ahead.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu. Did you know income tax is criminal? A blank in the Communist Manifesto. Why does the government officially say there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax? Freedom Law School knows the truth. Check it out for yourself at livefreenow.org and start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Go to livefreenow.org today or call 813-444-4800. livefreenow.org today.
Well, it's been a while since we've spoken with our Australian correspondent Maria Z on this show, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Maria has an upcoming expose on massive fraud inside of an Australian hospital during the pandemic. There's Australian bank accounts getting frozen, she says, apparently for the crime of trying to help recent flood victims. And then there's the city of Newcastle, Australia, which has become a smart city. It's intended to be a model for the entire world. And no, that's nothing to be excited about. Maria joins us now to explain why, but also you just sent over to Lauren Witzke, our executive producer here at the Stu Peters Show, some information that you've uncovered about the World Health Organization plotting to replace the world's constitutions and roll out forced injections. What is this?
Yes, Stu, very alarming information. So I interviewed Dr. Tess Laurie, who's a very balanced doctor. She's not an alarmist. And, you know, while she is confident that we can put a stop to this, she said that when she got off a meeting with the World Health Organization last week, she was left shaken. She doesn't use this language lightly. This pandemic treaty seeks to replace a country's constitution, and from her own mouth, could involve So they've changed the definition of pandemic. Basically, if there's a flu or, I don't know, a sniffle in a country, they could say, right, there's a global pandemic, and they could then enforce the measures that they want to enforce for this so-called global pandemic. Now, this could involve, and I said from her own mouth, forced vaccinations. This is really alarming stuff, Stu.
Where is this information coming from? I mean, this was a conversation that she had.
Yes, so they had a public sort of forum where they asked for people's feedback. And she said multiple other countries were on that call, and they were calling for more measures, Stu, and they even used the word punishment for countries that don't obey the rules. They only need 70% of worldwide countries to agree to this pandemic treaty in order for it to be in place, and then every single country is subject to it across the globe.
Okay, so when you say replace the constitutions, you mean stripping people of their individual liberties, their bodily autonomy, and their freedoms to choose what they inject themselves with, how they move, when they access their refrigerator, or what TV they're allowed to watch. How does the World Health Organization possess the ability or the power to be able to inflict this upon the world? And why would 70% of the world's nations agree to something so insane?
Well, we see the countries that have been moving in lockstep all around the globe for the past 2 years, Stu. I don't think it's a stretch that 70% would agree. She said that a majority of the countries on the call did agree. And as I said, we're calling for more measures, more controls, and they use the word punishments. The World Health Organization has actually proposed sanctions for countries that don't agree with their pandemic measures. And of course, it will be presented in the sense that we don't want to go through what we went through over the past 2 years. We want to manage this better. They've said that within 100 days, they'll release a vaccine next time that there's a pandemic. And you can see where this is going,
so
Stu.
Who would be issuing these sanctions? What governing body is going to sanction a country for not going along with replacing their constitution?
Well, we see that most of the countries globally have been depending on the World Health Organization to look after world health during this time.
Do they have the jurisdiction to do that, to sanction a country?
That's what they're saying they do.
Wow. I guess I don't know where in any laws or where in any governing body documentation does it say that the World Health Organization has that kind of authority. But I guess if a country is willing to go along with it and just surrender their sovereignty, and how does the World Health Organization benefit from this, by the way?
Well, it's all about bringing this centralized control. So one world government, one world health, everything being controlled by one group of people who, by the way, we all know that the World Health Organization are funded by these globalists, them dictating to us everything that we do, say, think. This is what this is all about, Stu, and I think that this is another huge step towards that.
Was there any other agency or any other organization involved with rolling out this plan? The World Health Organization, was the World Economic Forum behind this? Was there anybody else that was saying, yeah, this is what we're proposing?
I will do more digging as to the other organizations involved, but what I can tell you is that APRA, the agency in Australia that has been responsible for silencing doctors and suspending them, was all for this and wants to sign the treaty.
So Newcastle, Australia, which has become a smart city, this is intended to be a model for the entire world. What's happening in Newcastle?
It's very interesting, Stu. I knew that smart cities were being rolled out in Australia. I knew that these floods were for that purpose, because we see the city of Lismore completely destroyed. 2019, that was signed up as a smart city. So as I was digging, I found that Newcastle was actually the model for the whole world. We've got in these government grants, Stu, some of these projects involve street furniture monitoring citizen behavior and holographic cities and things that you would see in a dystopian movie. This is what's coming to Australia, and Newcastle is the model for the whole world.
And have they rolled this stuff out in Newcastle already?
They've started to, yes. We've got the smart lights and we've got other things happening around the city and other cities as well. These projects were well underway back from 2017, these grants started. But now we know, because we keep saying Australia is the testing ground of the New World Order, now we know this is very much linked with that, because these smart cities will have 5G towers at every corner. You will, and we still don't know, Stu, with the stuff that we've found in these vaccines, the nanotech, is this going to lead to mind control of these citizens? We don't know how far this is actually going to go.
Yeah, I mean, people call that a conspiracy theory and wild and crazy. I consider it to be a very plausible reality. In Newcastle specifically, and I agree with you on Australia being the prototype for a one world government, that they would like to, they would love to have Australia 2.0 right here in the United States. In Newcastle specifically, that's advancing into this smart city with smart lights and all of that, is the free movement of citizens being restricted or controlled in any ways that are escalated beyond the rest of the country?
It was. It's not so much anymore, Stu, but the interesting thing about Newcastle is it's actually the town where fast food chains will test some of their new products, because of the fact that it's very compliant families. They're very much trusting in the system, or the I guess the mainstream narrative. It is a particular town that they're still all masked up. They really obey the government. Middle class white families, basically, that just kind of trust the government. And so it makes sense why Newcastle was chosen for this.
When you travel around the world and travel to different countries and meet new people, you find that the majority of the people that you meet are just good people that like to help each other. Here in America, we love to help each other. I know that down in Australia, the same thing. People were helping some of these flooding victims, and as a result of that, Australian bank accounts are getting frozen. Why?
Well, the government refused to help. We had private helicopter flyers who offered to help these victims. The government said, no, you're not needed. The army went there, and as I spoke to you before, were filming themselves loading and unloading to make it look like they were doing something. So we had citizens say, right, we're going to take the matters into our own hands and help these people, Aussie Helping Hands. They set up a fund. Not only was the fund frozen after raising $350,000 and giving money to these families who were in desperate need, Stu, but then the organizers of that fund had their personal bank accounts frozen. One of them, which I've interviewed, you'll see that on my show this week on Uncensored. His personal bank account of over 30 years with this bank frozen for helping flood victims.
Unbelievable. Yes, by the way, the show Uncensored with Maria Z, you can find that on the Stu Peters Network on Rumble, also at stupeters.com. You're doing a fantastic job, by the way. And you have an upcoming expose on massive fraud at an Australian hospital during the pandemic. Tell us what we're going to find in that in about a minute.
Nothing like this has ever come out of Australia, Stu. As you know, people have been too afraid to speak out. Well, thanks to continuing to push and expose things, I do have a very interesting story for everyone next week. I look forward to bringing that to you then. More to come on that as soon as that's as that interview is being conducted. But it will be very, very interesting for people to see just how deep this has gone in Australia.
Massive fraud in a hospital in Australia. It's not a shocker. I'm telling you that right now. We have seen massive fraud. We have seen killing for cash. We have seen murder for money. People are being separated from their loved ones. They're being killed with remdesivir on ventilators that they don't want and they don't need. It's happening here in the United States, and I don't put it beyond there as well. But I have no idea what your fraud is that you've uncovered. I'll be watching this week. Maria Z, Uncensored. You can find it again on the Rumble channel, the Stu Peters Network, or at stupeters.com. Your work has been tremendous. We're really happy to have you. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Stu. God bless. Keep going.
Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
Love the hard-hitting truth delivered daily by The Stu Peters Show? Consider becoming a Red Voice Media premium member. Extended sit-down interviews, weekly in-depth reports, ad-free, premium episodes, exclusive content on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Defeat the lying globalists. Support real independent journalism. Full access to The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, Shots Fired with Deanne Lorraine, Marie Z Uncensored, and the military-focused Richard Leonard Show. All this and more exclusively on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Join today.
Well, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are over. I thank God for that. I'm sure you're all very happy about that. Unless you're Pfizer butt slut warmonger Lindsey Graham, who salivates over military interventions, who loves to use the military-industrial complex to enrich and empower himself in the D.C. Beltway while risking nothing like a coward. But for those who do sign up to make the ultimate sacrifice and die for our country, it's becoming an increasingly dangerous time to be in our military, not for reasons that you might typically associate with that service. You know, being blown up in war or shot and killed on the battlefield. No, not because of that, but instead because the Biden regime is forcing you to subject yourself to a dangerous and deadly bioweapon shot, being falsely referred to as an experimental vaccine, a jab that you don't need, which could very easily cause cataclysmic health problems. As Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long testified last year, you could be a former college athlete at the peak of your physical condition, and 6 months later, you could be riddled with heart problems, thyroid issues, or a brain tumor. You could transform a perfectly healthy young adult into someone riddled with blood clots, fearing a stroke and early death, all thanks to a shot you don't need that the Biden administration is forcing you to get. Not for military reasons. No, for political reasons back at home. And there's another aspect of terror to all of this. If you try to resist any of it, if you try to publicly protest or sound the alarm about what's happening, you could be targeted as well. Forget being kicked out of the military. Some soldiers are fearing going to prison if they say the wrong thing. That's why our next guest is an anonymous whistleblower. He's spent 20 years in the Army. He loves the Army. He loves his country. but he can't bear to witness what he's seeing right now. In just his platoon alone, he's seen 5 adverse reactions to this jab. He's asked for a religious accommodation for himself, but he's been severely reprimanded for even attempting to get it. They're threatening to drum him out of the military after 2 decades of honorable service. For our whistleblower, it's pretty obvious what's going on. Getting an exemption from the smallpox vaccine is easy. Go try and get a COVID one. Not so much. It's because this isn't about health. This is about removing certain ideologies from the armed forces. That's why the military is explicitly hunting for extremist ideologies in the military. Sure, once the military is all vax, shills, and trannies with every conservative and every Christian pushed out, it won't be any better at winning wars. In fact, it'll be terrible at that job. But it will be easier to use the military to crush domestic opposition. And that's the biggest thing the left wants the military for. Because for them, the biggest enemy is right here at home. It's you. It's obviously much more diabolical and nefarious. We'll ask our whistleblower if he agrees. He joins us now. What do you think?
Thanks, Stu. Yes, just based off of how the senior leadership has behaved in the recent months, this has come off as more of a a purge or a litmus test. They are basically just stamping the denial letters for the religious and medical exemptions. They're not following any of the emergency use authorization laws when it comes to testing. I refused. I was threatened with separation, which is the equivalent of getting kicked out. I'm receiving UCMJ action, and a letter of reprimand is where it's at right now, which is also a career ender. They refuse to acknowledge any of the laws that are presented to them. I've filed complaints with my chain of command that have gone all the way to the Pentagon for review, and they have either been ignored or denied. Additionally, they refuse to follow their own policies, specifically the DODI 6200.02. They have basically abandoned all policy, procedure, regulation, and laws when it comes to this. And it is outright discrimination that I'm experiencing and several other people are experiencing throughout the military currently. Specifically, you're looking at someone like First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, who has a court-martial on 28 through 29 April at Aberdeen Proving Ground. He's a whistleblower. He challenged the lawfulness of the orders and the mandates. Now he's being court-martialed for it. He was involved in identifying the adverse events discovered in VAERS and DMED, just like Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long and Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, who gave testimony to Congress. And he's being court-martialed for following the EUA laws and challenging his command. They when it comes to the punishment as well, they're not being fair about it. You know, my current situation, like I said, I'm going to receive a letter of reprimand. I have another colleague who is in the same situation as me. They're going to a court-martial as well. And it's my belief that they're trying to keep the damage and exposure to a minimum. That's why they didn't want me to pursue the court-martial and abandoned the proceedings for that.
What kind of adverse events have you been seeing? You said 5 in your platoon alone. What's
happening? In my previous platoon, when the initial shots rolled out, and this was prior to the actual mandate coming out in August, I had guys who experienced extreme illness. You know, they briefed that, hey, you know, you might get a fever, you might not feel well. This was serious illness. I had one soldier who was absolutely terrified of getting the second shot because he said he felt like he was dying. There were a couple other guys who had heart palpitations. One soldier in particular, he had severe migraine-like events for 4 days in a row. He had no history of it. And it actually reached the point to where he said he wanted to kill himself. And his, you know, friend kept an eye on him. And most of these people that go to the hospital with these adverse events, initially they were passed off as, oh, it's just allergies, you have a migraine, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, as if we don't have a big enough problem with military veterans and active duty soldiers killing themselves already.
Right.
And then they get kicked out or separated from the military, and then they go home and they have nothing else left to do because it was their career that they were passionate about, and they end up eating their own gun, blowing their heads off, poisoning themselves or asphyxiating themselves in the garage or hanging themselves. I mean, it's sick. Yeah. What's happening here, and how are they getting away with it? How can they just right out in the wide open just violate the law, break the law, not be challenged on any of this? The facts, they're throwing somebody in the brig for challenging the law that's clearly stated right there. They're violating their own policies. How are they getting away with this?
Well, first off, when it comes to the military suicide issue, you know, I've lost tenfold the amount of friends and acquaintances to suicide than I ever lost in combat. So that is an absolute real issue, because undoubtedly the fallout from this is you are going to have people leave the service who they have no civilian skill set to fall back on. And ultimately, they are going to continue to commit suicide. When it comes to the leadership of the military, the biggest problem, senior leadership is politically motivated, predominantly yes men. It's no longer competitive when it comes to promotion in senior ranks. It's who can do the most gravelly and have the best looking slides, you know, for briefs. That's not what SALT leadership does. Good leaders question when necessary, they confirm, and then they execute. Most leaders are too afraid to push back or step out of line. Nowadays, it's just blindly in the blind, and the lower levels do see it. You know, with the military, it's become a social experiment, a political tool, And anyone who has been in more than a few years, they see it. And to, you know, quote a friend, current military leadership is full of vindictive, narcissistic, two-faced, politically motivated, sycophantic careerists who do nothing but try to justify their existence through emails, newsletters, and making themselves look good at the expense of their subordinates. They don't care about following the law or defending something that they took an oath to swore. They continually fall back on this you know, phrase of, I'm just following orders. And it's not an acceptable response when you're told you're breaking the law, especially when you're presented the facts. I've tried to inform my command, but they're hell bent on this, just like the rest of the military, because they see it as, hey, I'm being told by my higher headquarters it must be lawful. When it comes to the testing, for example, that they say is mandatory, according to the law, it requires a presidential waiver to waive my right to refuse. Just the same thing back in last summer before they, you know, did the bait and switch with, hey, this vaccine is received full licensure, which those are not interchangeable. That's the same reason why they couldn't waive our right to refuse this shot, because it was, you know, quote unquote mandated yet. So it would require a presidential waiver to force any emergency use authorized product onto a service member, and that does not exist. But again, they're falling back on this concept of, I'm just following orders.
I'm running up against this break here. I got about a minute left, but I want to hear, what is your solution to this? What can the American people do? What would you ask for somebody to do we have to stop this.
Well, first off, Congress needs to step up and do their job. Don't wait till the elections. We always hear them say, we love the military, we support the military. Where's the love? Where's the support? I've yet to see it when it comes to these mandates. Most of these elected officials are just buying time and selling good wishes until the next election. I've contacted dozens of offices, congressional offices, and most don't respond back. Most are unaware of what exactly is going on. You know, there are some good ones out there that put forth resolutions, but we got to do more than that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm an American citizen. I will always care about the military. And the common U.S. citizen, unfortunately, they don't understand the state that the military is in, because they're not living it.
Yeah. That's the, and they're being part. Lied to by the media, and they're being lied to by their selected representatives, and they're being lied to by the people who assume this position of power, thinking that it's their own, not recognizing that those seats come from God, and that we, the people, are supposed to willfully choose to put them there. And then when they develop legislation that is impeding on our individual liberties and our rights, that we have a state constitution that allows us to reform or abolish that form of government, and then to replace them with somebody who is representative of we, the people. And that's exactly what we intend to do here at the Stu Peters Show. We're going to put these people on notice. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. God bless you. And you're going to be in our prayers, and we're going to take action here on the Stu Peters Show. We're going to be the platform of real remedy, which is why we are going to get together and put together a notice that we can serve on Congress. That's going to be available at stupeters.com. I'll let you know here on the show when it's there. And we want hundreds of thousands of these notices being served to everybody in Congress. More of the Stu Peters Show in 60 seconds. Well, your freedoms and your individual liberty and your service to our country are not the only things that the Biden regime wants to steal. They're coming after your money, too, which is why I need to give you this warning. Inflation and tax hikes, these are Biden's only way out of this $30 trillion federal debt. You're going to see hyperinflation, too. So if you have $50,000 or more that you've saved up for your retirement in your IRA or in your 401k or in your savings, it's at risk. It's at risk of theft. They're going to come and take it. So you need to protect it with physical gold and silver. Call 855-647-1372 and get a free gold IRA kit. Write this number down right now. 855-647-1372. These are my good friends over at Gold Co. who have promised to give you up to $15,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. GoldCo has already helped thousands of Americans to protect their retirement against inflation and tax hikes and government theft. So don't wait anymore. Write the number down and call them right now. 855-647-1372 for GoldCo.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
Free class happening at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Go there right now until tomorrow at this time. Here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that see us to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio.